Romans 15:4 tells us, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So on Sunday nights, we're learning what the Bible teaches about hope. Last Sunday night, we looked at the person of our hope. And as Christians, we know that Jesus is that person. Jesus Christ is our hope. And as our sovereign, as our Savior, the promises that He makes to us as His people are the promises that He always keeps. Well, tonight we're going to look more closely at the power of this hope, the power of this hope that Jesus offers to His people. That is, what does our hope in Christ and our hope from Christ actually do? What does our hope from Christ provide? What does it accomplish in our lives as Christians? Well, I believe that the Scriptures teach that our Christian hope provides us with rich and unending blessing. Real blessing. You don't need to turn there, but in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Jeremiah states very clearly, and actually David also reiterates that in the book of Psalms, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is." So when your hope rests in the person of hope, the Lord Jesus, you will receive many blessings that you can experience both now and forevermore. So for tonight, we're going to explore together seven great blessings that flow from our hope in the Lord. And it's these blessings that God uses to fuel and empower our lives and service for Him, no matter what we face. So we're going to look at some blessings that come from hope, hope in Christ. First, we find the blessing of rest. Hope in Christ brings the blessing of true rest. Go back to the book of Psalms with me, Psalms 16, where David is writing what is known as a messianic psalm. And in Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, he writes, "I have set the Lord, Jehovah, always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." This Psalm of David is a messianic psalm. It even describes the hope that Jesus Himself possessed while He was in this world. Even the soul of Jesus Christ was able to rest in the hope that His Heavenly Father had promised Him. What was that hope? If you're still there in Psalm 16, look at verse 10. "For Thou," here we have the Messiah praying and saying to His Father, "For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption." What's that talking about? It's talking about the resurrection, isn't it? It's talking about how Jesus came back from the dead. He was not just lingering and decaying there in the grave. He came back to life, and the hope of real rest, not rest in the grave, but rest in heaven itself, was Jesus' hope while He was here on earth. But what a blessing that is, not just for Christ, but all of Christ's people, to be able to rest in hope. Now, when do we need to experience this kind of blessing in our life? When do we need to experience God's rest? Well, we need to experience it when we are weary. When we're weary. Whenever you are tired, worn out from the struggles and even the suffering that you face every day in this sin-cursed world. We hear about some of the battles that are taking place there in the Middle East. Ruth was talking about Mosul there in Iraq. Of course, many news articles and TV reports have been about Aleppo in Syria. I received an email from Voice of Martyrs organization, and it was talking about the Christians that are still left in Aleppo. We often don't think of that. We think of Muslims. We think of those that are fighting, whether it's a government control or if it's the rebels. But there was a group of believers. He said some 260 families that are Christians that have answered the call to remain there in their home city to share the gospel with those who are in need. You know what is providing hope for them? They may never have hope to live even to the next day. But they have hope for rest. True rest. They may not be able to rest their head on a soft pillow like we're going to be able tonight. They may not have a home to go to. But they do have a heaven. And they do have a Lord that offers them the hope of rest. Because I know that they are weary right now. I know that they are weary and worn out from the struggles and the suffering they're facing every day, which doesn't even compare to the suffering and the struggles that we face. And yet, when we are weary, when you are weary, Jesus continues to offer himself his hope of rest. Remember Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." Rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We saw that this morning. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the hope of Christ's rest is what will help us as we serve him in our lives, so that we will not become weary in well-doing. In fact, this Voice of Martyrs organization was requesting help to support these Christians in their mission there in their own city, to stay there and to share the gospel there. We need to pray that they are not weary in well-doing. And we need to pray for each other that we're not weary in well-doing. But the main way that we don't get weary is by resting in the hope that God offers through Christ. You see, the Christian's hope is a powerful thing. It gives us rest when we're weary. But there is a second blessing. The second blessing is the blessing of strength. Not just rest, but strength. Hope in the Lord brings the blessing of God's strength. If you're there in the book of Psalms, go with me to Psalm 31, verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 24, where the psalmist says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." If you hope in the Lord, the person of your hope, he is the one who will strengthen your heart. Now that is a great blessing. It's a great blessing to be able to receive strength from your hope in the Lord. Now, when do we need that kind of strength? When do we need to experience this blessing in our lives? Well, we need strength when we are weak. When you are weak. Whenever you're struggling with weakness, whether it's physical weakness. You know, every time we come to pray, we know that there are people that are physically weak. There are people with health problems, and they need God's strength. They need the hope of God's strength. But then there are those who are struggling with emotional weakness. People that are breaking down because of the strain in their lives and the things that are going around them. Those who have spiritual weaknesses. We know that there are weak Christians. There are weak people in faith. You see, when you are weak, Jesus himself offers you the hope of his strength. Not just the strength of another person, not just the strength of a doctor if you're sick, not just the strength of a psychologist if you're having some emotional difficulty, not even the strength of a pastor, but the strength of Christ himself. You remember when Paul was struggling with a thorn in the flesh? A thorn in the flesh, some problem that affected his body. But it didn't just affect his body, it affected his very spirit. To the point where he was struggling with even knowing how he could serve God with his thorn in the flesh. There are many who believe it had something to do with his eyes. But listen to the testimony of Paul the Apostle when he was dealing with this weakness in his flesh. You can find this in 2 Corinthians 12. Which is very autobiographical in the life of Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 12:7, he writes, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." In other words, God has given me a lot to write about, a lot of the scripture he wrote. "But to humble him, there was given to me," he writes, "a thorn in the flesh, some physical problem, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And that is a good example to follow. When there is a weakness in our life, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, we ought to pray. Pray, God, give us strength through this weakness. But what happened? God answered his prayer. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, "And he, the Lord, said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Did God answer Paul's prayer? Absolutely. It may not have been the kind of answer that Paul was looking for. Paul was hoping that this problem would be gone. But what did God do instead? He gave him the strength to make it through that problem. In fact, Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He knew he was weak, but he knew he had hope in the strength of God to help him through those infirmities. 2 Corinthians 12:10, he adds, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, but not just those, in reproaches, in necessities, even in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You see, the hope of God's grace and the hope of God's strength was there to help him through his weakness and his pain, and it caused him to rely upon God's strength instead of his own. And the hope of God's strength will help us in whatever our weakness may be. There's a lot of power in that hope. There's power in the hope of God's strength when we are weak. Another blessing, though, is the blessing of peace. Hope in the Lord doesn't just bring rest and strength, but hope in the Lord also brings the blessing of His peace. Remember Psalm 42? It's a passage where David is just pouring out his heart to God. We've covered some of it earlier this year, but in Psalm 42, verse 5, David says to himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" You ever felt that way? Cast down, discouraged? Your soul is just restless inside? What does he say to himself? And of course, God is speaking to him. He writes, "Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." What a blessing David experienced to receive peace from his hope in the Lord. Now, when do we need that kind of peace? When do we need to experience this blessing of peace? Well, it's whenever we are facing worry. Whenever I'm worried, I need God's peace. Whenever your soul is cast down, you need God's peace. Whenever your soul is disquieted within you, you need God's peace. And so when you are worried, Jesus himself offers you the hope of his peace. When do we get worried? When we think about this last year, there's been a lot of worry about what would happen in the political world. People worried about who would become president, who would take over Congress and the Senate. A lot of worry. There's other things that we worry about. And we know that that worry never does anybody any good. It just disquiets our soul, doesn't it? So what should we do when we're worried? We need to trust in the peace that God offers. Jesus even told his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." This is a promise. Whenever Jesus gives a promise, it's something that he will fulfill. "My peace I give unto you." And it's not like the world gives, "Give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you're struggling with worry tonight, the hope of God's peace will help you. The hope of God's peace will help you when you face conflicts with others, and even if you have those conflicts in your own heart. That is the power of a Christian's hope. It gives us peace when we're worried. The fourth blessing that we find is the blessing of joy. Hope in the Lord also brings the blessing of His joy. Look back with me to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verse 5. And the first word that we find in that verse is happy. Happy. Don't we like to be happy and enjoy life? Well, David says, this is the person that's going to be happy. This is the person who's really going to experience the blessing of joy. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. When your hope is in the Lord, you will experience this blessing of great joy. What a blessing to be able to receive joy from your hope in the Lord. Now, when do we need to experience this blessing? Well, we need joy whenever we are struggling with sorrow and when we are weeping. When we are weeping. Whenever there is sorrow in our life because of sin. You know, there are times where we ought to grieve over our sin. The Bible does teach that we still struggle with that. There are sins that so easily beset us, and we do need to sorrow over our sin. There are times where we lose people that are close to us, loved ones. We think of the landlady that Anna just recently lost, and obviously there was a relationship that was developing there. And I'm sure that there is sorrow and because of that loss. And sorrow over pain. Whenever you go to the hospital and you know people are struggling with pain because of operations and sicknesses. And we do sorrow with those who are sorrowing. But one of the great promises and hope that we have in the Lord is that from that sorrow there can be joy. Because that sorrow is only going to last for a moment. In fact, Romans 12, verse 2 reminds us that we can always be rejoicing in hope. We always have the potential to rejoice in the hope that God gives us. So when we are weeping, what does Jesus offer? He offers us the hope of His joy. Go with me to the New Testament book of John. John chapter 16. Because the disciples were experiencing the time of sorrow. Jesus was starting to tell them about His departure. He was telling them about His death and how He would be leaving them very shortly. And in John 16, verse 20, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He's talking to His disciples now, the ones that He cared for, the ones that He led and shepherded all those years. "I say unto you that you will weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful." So what is He talking about? His death. He's talking about how the world will think they have victory over Him and victory over His people. But then He adds, "But your sorrow, it's not going to be like the sorrow of the world. You have hope in your sorrow. Your sorrow shall be turned into what? Joy." He gives this illustration. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. And we know the difficulty and the trial that some women have when they're going through labor and the pain. But as soon as she is delivered of that child, she remembereth no more the anguish. Why? Her joy. Joy that a man is born into the world. The reason why a mother can go through all that pain and anguish and sorrow is for the hope of that child that will be born into the world. And thus He says in verse 22, "And you now shall have sorrow. You now therefore will have sorrow, but I will see you again," Jesus says, "and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." We need to remember that this hope of God's joy will help us, just like it would have helped the disciples. It will help us turn our mourning into dancing, because we will someday see Jesus again. We will someday be able to give Him praise and thanks forevermore. And that is the power of a Christian's hope. Our hope in Him gives us joy when we're sorrowing, when we're weeping. There is a fifth blessing. The fifth blessing, and that is the blessing of purity. Hope in the Lord also brings the blessing of His purity and His holiness in our life. A familiar passage dealing with hope is in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Head there with me. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. John writes, "Beloved," talking to believers now, those whose hope can be in the Lord, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," and I'm sure John is probably thinking back to the passage that we already read in the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, "I will see you again. I will see you again. And now John is remembering that and saying, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's talking about the return of Christ. He's talking about this visible manifestation of his Savior. And he is not the only one that's going to experience this. All of God's people, you and I, if we know Christ as our Savior, will experience this blessing of seeing him as he is. And what does this cause? What does the power of this hope do in our lives? Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? That we're going to see Jesus as he is. We're going to see him in all his glory. That's the hope that we have. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. What a blessing Christians have. What a blessing we have to be able one day to see the Lord Jesus as he is, and then to experience his holiness and his righteousness forevermore. But when do we need to experience that blessing in our lives? This blessing of his purity? Right now, don't we? Today and every day. Why? Because we still struggle with sin. This should be our longing whenever we are wandering. When you're wandering, we need to have this hope of God's purity. The hope of seeing him as he is, so that we can purify ourselves even as he is pure. So we need to have this longing whenever we're struggling with those weights and those sins that doth so easily beset us. Have you ever wandered? I think we've all in our lives at one point have wandered. Perhaps even tonight you're finding a time in your life of wandering. Even as the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Even when we're not, we know that there's that proneness. We know that there is this flesh that is drawn to temptation and sin. When you are wandering, Jesus himself gives you the grace and the strength to help you purify yourself, even as he is pure. See, he doesn't just leave you to attend to it by yourself. He doesn't say you can purify yourself, but I'm not going to help you. No, he gives you the grace and the strength to purify yourself. How do we know this? Well, it's because what Jesus himself came to do. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, we see that this purification can only come through hope in him. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, where Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Who's he talking about there? The same person that John was writing about. When we see him as he is, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus give himself for us? So that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It is Jesus himself who purifies us with the hope that he gives. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The hope that we have that one day we will see Jesus as he is, our blessed hope, is what God uses to purify us from the inside out, to sanctify us, to make us more holy, even as he is holy. That is the power of a Christian's hope, the hope in him. The sixth blessing that we find in the New Testament and the Old is the blessing of God's grace, the blessing of grace. Hope in the Lord brings the blessing of his sustaining grace. Just a page or two over from Titus, we find in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writing about God's sustaining grace. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore, he's writing to Timothy and other believers, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, in that verse, the word trust can also be translated hope. Remember, trust and hope are really two sides of the same coin. But here in this verse, the word that is translated trust, most of the time in the New Testament, is actually translated hope. So let's put that word instead. For therefore, we, as believers, both labor and suffer reproach because we hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. What is our life like once we come to know Christ as our Savior? We know from experience that it is a life of labor and sometimes of reproach. It's not just come to the Lord and everything's going to be fine, hunky-dory, everything's going to be a life of ease. No, it is a life of labor. It's a life of real spiritual work, real spiritual warfare, because we also suffer reproach. But isn't it a blessing to know that even as we are working for the Lord, even as we are serving the Lord and even fighting for the Lord, it's a blessing to be able to know that we are being nourished and sustained by the grace of God all the days of our life. There's not a single day in the life of a believer where He does not sustain you and strengthen you and enable you and help you by His grace. So when do we need to experience this blessing? All the time. All the time. There will never be a time in your life where you do not need His grace. But there are times, especially though, that we need it. We need it especially when we are serving and working for the Lord. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, 9 and 10. He says, "It is written in the law of Moses that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen?" Here's a certain law that we often wonder about. There's a lot of laws in the Old Testament that we wonder about. What is God doing here? Why is He putting this there? And one of those that Paul addresses is this: "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." So we have the ox, and he's going around in a circle, and he's treading out the grain that they're going to use for bread and different things. And he said, "This is the law of God. Don't put that muzzle on that ox." The ox should be able to eat a little bit of what he's doing, to be able to eat a little bit from the work that he's putting out. And Paul says, okay, does God take care for oxen? Of course, we know that He does. His eyes even on the sparrow. But in verse 10, he says, "Or does He altogether say it for our sakes?" You see, God is not just taking these laws and making these laws arbitrarily for animals. He's using these laws in the Old Testament as illustrations for us as believers. And so Paul adds, no, it's for our sakes, no doubt, that this is written. Why? "So that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." What is the point here? God says that He wants His servants to be able to have hope in the work and the service that they're doing. It says, this law of not muzzling the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn applies not to the ox, but to you and to me in our service for the Lord. You see, God rewards His servants. It's not something that we deserve. But in His grace, He offers rewards just for us doing our duty as Christians. And so God wants you as His servant, while you're working, while you're plodding, while you're plowing, while you're threshing, He wants you to do so in hope. And so when you're serving and working for the Lord, Jesus Himself promises to sustain you and strengthen you and provide for you as you serve Him. A familiar and probably a favorite verse for many of us is Philippians 4:19. This is a promise of Jesus, a promise of hope. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What is that? That's hope. That no matter where you serve, no matter how you serve, God is going to provide everything that you need in His service. And the hope of His grace gives us power in His service. But there is a seventh and final blessing that we're going to look at tonight, and that is the blessing of assurance. The blessing of assurance. Hope in the Lord also brings the blessing of His assurance. Turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 6, and actually this will probably be the last passage that you might turn to, or at least the last book. Hebrews chapter 6. We're beginning verse 10 through verse 12. We read this. Hebrews 6:10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love," which we already looked at. Remember? The blessing of hope for our service. "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to what? To the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Assurance. Isn't it a great blessing to have assurance in your life as a Christian, as a child of God? I remember there's a time when I was in college and I was struggling with assurance. I've talked to many of you who have struggled at times in your life with assurance of your relationship with God and your walk with God. But when do we need to experience this blessing of assurance? Well, we need assurance when we are often wondering about that relationship. When we're wondering about things in our lives as Christians. We're having questions or facing doubts. But do you realize that when you are wondering, Jesus Himself, once again, provides the assurance and confidence that you need. Later, in Hebrews chapter 10, we read this. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart. How? In full assurance of faith. Do you realize that if you have Christ in your life, you do not have to doubt your salvation. You do not have to doubt that you can come into the presence of God through Christ. You do not have to doubt. Instead, you can enter with boldness and with confidence. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. You know where our assurance comes from? Not from my faith, but rather His faithfulness. Not from the strength of my faith, but the strength of His hand over me. That is where we get our assurance. And this hope of assurance will help us when our faith seems to be wavering. That is the power of a Christian's hope. I wanted us to see tonight that our hope as Christians is very powerful. When you are weary, it offers rest. When you are weak, it offers strength. When you are worried, it offers peace. When you are weeping, it offers joy. When you are wandering, it offers purity. When you are working, it offers grace. When you are wondering, it offers assurance. But you know the reason why our hope is so powerful? It's because our hope is not just in a person. It's because our hope is a person. Every one of these qualities, everything, every one of these blessings that we looked at, all reside in Jesus. And so we're not just hoping in Jesus. Jesus is our hope. In fact, Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy 1:1. In the very introduction to his letter, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. So it all comes back to what we looked at last Sunday night, the person of hope. Jesus Himself is our hope. And that's why all of these blessings that we've looked at tonight give us hope, because every one of these blessings can only be found in Him. Jesus alone is our blessed hope. And all of these blessings flow through Him. So, in the words of Paul, we need to keep looking for that blessed hope. Who is He? Christ. Keep looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Because it's not just the blessings that we're wanting to enjoy. We're wanting to see Him. He is our hope. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the hope that Jesus is and the hope that Jesus offers. And Lord, I know that in that listing of blessings that we've already looked at, I know that somewhere in there, each one of us can identify something that we need, a hope that we're struggling with. Oh, Father, help us to realize that when we come to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, He is the one where we can find that hope, the rest when we are weary, the joy when we are weeping, the peace when we're worrying, the purity when we have wandered away. And all of the blessings that we see, we find in Christ Himself. And so, Lord, I pray that we will keep looking unto Him. And that, Father, our hope, when it seems like there is no hope, our hope will be lifted up and placed where it properly resides, in the person of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, all these blessings will flow. All of this hope will empower us and fuel us in the life that you've given us here as we serve you, as we witness for you, as we learn more about you. Oh, Father, I thank you that Jesus is our hope, and that is a powerful hope, the most powerful hope that anyone in this world could ever have. And we're thankful, Lord, that you have freely offered it to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.